watched as the hungry scavengers swooped down onto the discarded refuse, picking through the rotting scraps, and then climbing back into the air, navigating the sky with graceful ease. For a sad instant he remembered what it was like, the sound and the feel of mighty wings pounding the air. Flying was one of the only things he truly missed about his old life. He turned his attention back to Montgomery, just in time to see another car pull up alongside the editor's. "Time to earn my $250 plus expenses," he thought, watching as Peter's secretary emerged from the vehicle. Then he picked up his camera from the passenger seat and began snapping pictures. The woman stood stiffly beside the driver's side of her boss's car, looking nervously about as she waited to be acknowledged, finally reaching out to rap with the knuckle upon the window. The man got out of the car, but the couple said nothing to one another. Montgomery was dressed in his usual work attire, dark suit, white shirt, and striped tie. He was 46 years of age, but looked older. In a light raincoat over a pretty floral print dress, the woman appeared to be at least 10 years his junior. The editor carried a blue gym bag that he switched from right hand to left as he locked his car. The two stared at each other briefly, something seeming to pass silently between them, then together walked to room number 35. The secretary searched through her purse as they stood before the door, eventually producing a key attached to a dark green plastic triangle. Remy guessed that she had rented the room earlier and took four more pictures, an odd feeling settling in the pit of his stomach. The strange sensation grew stronger as the couple entered the room and shut the door behind them. This was the part of the job Remy disliked most. He would have been perfectly satisfied, as would his client, he was sure, to learn that the husband was completely faithful. Everyone would have been happy. Remy could pay his rent, and Janice Montgomery could sleep better knowing that her husband was still true to the sacred vows of marriage. 9 out of 10 times, though, that wasn't the case. Suspecting he'd be a while, the detective turned off his car and shifted in his seat. He reached for a copy of the Boston Globe on the passenger seat beside him, and had just plucked a pen from his inside coat pocket to begin the crossword puzzle when he heard the first gunshot. He was out of the car and halfway across the lot before he even thought about what he was doing. His hearing was good, unnaturally so, and he knew exactly where the sound had come from. He reached the door to room 35, pounding on it with his fist, shouting for Montgomery to open up. Remy prayed that he was mistaken, that maybe the sound was a car backfire from the busy Jamaica Way, or that some kids in the neighborhood were playing with fireworks left over from the 4th of July. But deep down, he knew otherwise. A second shot rang out as he brought his heel up and kicked open the door, splintering the frame with the force of the blow. The door swung wide and he entered, keeping his head low, and for the umpteenth time since choosing his profession, questioned his decision not to carry a weapon. The room was dark and cool, the shades drawn. An air conditioner rattled noisily in the far corner beneath the window. Smoke and the smell of spent ammunition hung thick in the air. Montgomery stood naked beside the double bed, illuminated by the daylight flooding in through the open door. Shielding his eyes from the sudden brightness, the man turned, shaken by the intrusion. The body of the woman, also nude, lay on the bed atop a dark, checkered bedspread, what appeared to be a Bible clutched in one of her hands. She had been shot once in the forehead, and again in the chest. Montgomery wavered on his bare feet, the gun shaking in his hand at his side. He stared at Remy in the doorway and slowly raised the weapon. "Don't do anything stupid," Remy cautioned, his hands held out in front of him. "I'm unarmed." He felt a surge of adrenaline flood through his body as he watched the man squint down the barrel of the pistol. "This is what it's like to be truly alive," he thought. In the old days, before his renouncement, Remy had never known the thrill of fear. There was no reason to. But now moments such as this made what he had given up seem almost insignificant. The man jabbed the gun at Remy and screamed, "Shut the door!" Slowly, Remy did as he was told, never taking his eyes from the gunman. "It's not what you think,"